From NPR and WBEZ Chicago, this is Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me, the NPR News Quiz. I'm the bill no one wants to repeal or replace. Bill Curtis. And here is your host, filling in for Peter Sagal at the Chase Bank Auditorium in downtown Chicago. It is Jesse Klein.
Hello. Hello there. If you're a regular Wait, Wait listener and you're wondering what exactly you're hearing, it's the sound of the NPR quiz show glass ceiling shattering into a million pieces.
Yes.
Because I'm Jesse Klein, and I'm the first ever female guest host of Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me. You know, when I was a little girl, if you had told me that one day a woman would be able to guest host a public radio game show for just 1 hour out of its entire 20-year span, I would have said, yeah, that not only seems believable, it seems like kind of the bare minimum of what I'd expect. Well, all right, let's get on with the show. If you want to play our game, have your girl dial us up. The number to call is 1-888-WAIT-WAIT. That's 1-888-924-8924. Hi, you're on Wait, Wait, Don't Tell Me.
Hi. Hi, Jesse.
Hi, who's this?
This is Gary from Minneapolis, Minnesota.
Hi, Gary. Hi, Gary from Minneapolis. What are you doing in Minneapolis?
Well, my wife is from here, so we moved back couple of years ago to start a family, and we have a little boy, one-year-old Teddy, and yeah, it's great.
Oh, one-year-old Teddy. I have an almost two-year-old. How much poop are you drowning in right now?
Well, I had to leave the house to call you guys because my phone was stuck to the table, so.
Oh, okay. This all sounds familiar, but we'll talk offline. Now, Gary, let's introduce you to our panel. First up, it's comedian and veteran of Last Comic Standing. You can follow him everywhere, at Alonzo Bowden. It's Alonzo Bowden.
Hello, Gary.
Next up, it's the woman behind the politically themed comedy show Party on the Left at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, California on April 13th, comedian Helen Hong.
Hello. Hi, Gary.
And finally, it's a writer for HBO's Real Time with Bill Maher, Adam Felber.
Hey there, Gary.
Hey, Adam.
So you're going to play Who's Bill This Time? Bill Curtis is going to read you three quotes from this week's, once again, exhausting news. And if you can correctly identify or explain two of them, you'll win our prize, the legendary Carl Castle's voice on your voicemail. Are you ready to play this game?
I've waited all my life.
Here is your first quote.
Despite what you hear in the press, it's coming along great. We are talking to many groups, and it will end in a beautiful picture.
Oh, so beautiful. Gary, that was the President of the United States talking not about a new painting by former President Bush, but about what?
Could I have a clue?
Sure. How about saying you might be sick of hearing about this?
Is it the Affordable Care Act or Obamacare, as he hates to call it?
Yes, yes. We're going to count it. Yes. Healthcare. Healthcare. So the Trump administration's new plan to repeal and replace Obamacare has been unveiled. And while the new plan's critics argue that the changes would leave poor people unable to afford health insurance, Republicans respond that it will leave poor people unable to afford health insurance. In an interview on CNN, Republican Jason Chaffetz responded to the critique by saying that low-income families shouldn't, quote, get that new iPhone. Instead, they should invest in their own health care. He went on to suggest that those struggling to afford health insurance might need to stop indulgently splurging on phones altogether and instead just tie two paper cups together with a piece of string.
I you think know, when 50 Cent said, get rich or die trying, I don't think he saw that as the health care plan.
No.
Yeah, little did we know that he was, like, really up in health insurance issues. Chaffetz tried to walk his comments back later in the week by saying those with pre-existing illnesses, such as cancer, could possibly have an iPhone, but should not be allowed to make any in-app purchases. Because, again, too indulgent.
Yeah.
I think, ironically, for people who are trying to make insurance harder to get, these are the least healthy looking people of all time. Do you know what I mean? Like, Trump really looks like he burned down 40 years ago. And Steve Bannon looks like a zombie that the producers of The Walking Dead would be like, you gotta tone that down. That's not believable. Right. That's too scary.
He's too rumpled.
He's too rumpled.
He's too rumpled for a zombie.
Wait, I have more. Steve Bannon looks like AIDS came down with a full-blown person.
Well, that's good.
Wow.
Do you have any other ones you want to throw out?
I don't know, but I think that was a little unfair to AIDS.
Yeah. Yeah. You know. Gary, your next quote is from a spokesperson for the TSA.
People will notice that it's gotten more involved.
Gary, what feature of the TSA is about to get a lot more interesting?
The screening at the airport, the pat-downs, things like that.
That's right, exactly, the TSA pat-downs. The TSA has announced that the pat-downs for travelers opting out of the body scan will now be, quote, more involved, and may incorporate, quote, more intimate contact. This is all part of a federal policy change being referred to by airport officials as foreplay. Among the changes, TSA employees will now use the front of the hand instead of the back and will also be authorized after the pat down to gossip with Billy Bush about what went down.
You know, Jesse, I'm chronically single, so I'm going to be flying a lot more now.
Get it, girl.
Bring it on.
Get it, girl.
Jesse, are we sure that this is part of the new security plan, or is this part of Trump's new health care act?
Yeah.
That's right.
Oh, sir, while I was searching you, I found a lump. I think you should go through that scanner one more time. We'll get a good look at that.
Exactly.
What were they missing before? Were they actually missing stuff? Was stuff getting through? Were people, you know, outsmarting the pat-downs?
I think they were missing romance.
Yeah.
You think if you could find the gun with the front of your hand, you'd find the gun with the back
of
your
hand.
That's
what I think, yeah.
That's true.
You know, there are some guns that can only be found with groping.
Ah.
Just actual groping.
That's not a gun. Sorry.
Love it.
Wait, most importantly, though, will there be eye contact? Because that's really what does it for me.
The whole time, all the way through, you want eye contact?
If it's front of the hand, I want to lock eyes, man. Yeah.
I know that I intend to start moaning instantly. Just see how comfortable it is for them. So we're just gonna pat you down. Oh yeah. Oh, no, that's not the gun. No. Keep going.
Okay. Gary, your last quote is from a protest sign seen Wednesday.
Think this world could survive a day without us? Good luck.
That was a sign held by someone celebrating what?
That was a sign held by someone celebrating International Women's Day.
Yeah.
That's right. Absolutely. International Women's Day. And connected to that, in America, we had a day without women. The organizers of the Women's March declared Wednesday, March 8th, a day without a woman, encouraging women to picket their places of work in order to highlight disparities in pay. While the economic impact of the action is still being calculated, men in workplaces across the country felt the immediate effects of not having anyone around to interrupt. Said one guy at an office, I'm just used to starting my sentences by talking over my female coworkers. I feel like I don't even know when to begin talking now. When are they coming back?
Awkwardly, the women's protest signs were all painted by Latino immigrants.
It was awkward. Almost as awkward as this moment right now.
Yeah.
We're just really trying not to interrupt you, Jesse, that's all. Way to put a chill on the show.
You know what would be more effective is a day without a woman on Tinder. We'll try to survive that.
I think the app would actually just burst into flames. Congress got a head start on honoring a day without a woman by having almost none of them around for the last 250 years. All right, Bill, how did Gary do?
Well, he's adjusted very well to his new home. He did perfectly. Gary, congratulations.
Gary.
Oh.